smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
For some dog owners, shedding is the bane of our existence. Dog hair is everywhere, wrecking a perfectly great pair of black pants, not to mention the sofa. For others, the more they shed, the better. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and welcome to the Good Dog Podcast, where today's topic is a bit esoteric. My guest, Sue Hotovec from Des Moines, Iowa, wrote an article entitled Fiber on the Paw, having turned her dog's hair into yarn. Sue, now, was this a brainstorm that you had one day while picking up mounds of hair that your dog had shed?
That's pretty much how it worked. I had this dog, and every spring he would just shed drifts of this creamy, fluffy fur, and I would think, wow, this would make a great sweater. I should learn how to spin and knit and make a sweater out of this hair. And I did. I got some books from the library and learned how to spin, and then I learned how to knit, and that's kind of how it all started.
That is just amazing. So you didn't even know how to knit when this began?
No, I didn't.
And who knew that you could actually turn pet hair into yarn? You just sort of assumed that you probably could?
Well, I don't know if I had heard of it someplace before and, you know, just got the idea for it that way. But, you know, it was just so soft and so fluffy. I mean, it was like Angora. And, you know, just think of an Angora sweater. And I thought, you know, this has just got to make a great sweater.
So what is it about dog hair in particular that makes it good to spin into yarn? Or does
mostly,
it?
Well, some yes and some no. Most dogs have a double coat. That's good. There's the fluffy undercoat that's next to the skin, and then there are the stiffer guard hairs that are toward the outside. And it's that undercoat that's very, very soft. And I think that's what makes it very nice as yarn, is because it feels good. You know, if you make an ear band or a pair of socks or something like that, it's very soft. It's very warm. It's much, much warmer than wool. So there are properties to it that are just make it nice to wear next to your skin.
Amazing. So tell us how you collect the hair and then how you turn it into yarn.
For the most part, like for my dog, she sheds, and I brush her pretty regularly, and I just keep a plastic grocery bag nearby, and I use a slicker brush. And as I brush her and get the hair off of her, I put it in the grocery bag, and then when I get a bag full of yarn, I spin it.
And tell me about that process.
There's several steps to it, and it kind of depends on the hair that you're starting with. For most pets that are kept indoors, they're reasonably clean, you know, so I don't have to wash the hair before I do anything with it.
Doesn't smell once you.
It depends on the dog. You know, yeah, some dogs just smell more doggy than others. Like I said, most indoor dogs, if they're kept clean, it's not bad. So usually I just, you know, collect it, and then you have to make it kind of fluffy. Like if you're spinning wool or something else, they have cards, which are like big paddles. They look kind of like slicker brushes. And you use that to get the hairs organized so that they're all going the same direction. But sometimes with dog hair, it's so fluffy that I don't have to card it. I can just kind of pick through it, pick out the guard hairs, the stiff hairs that I don't want. If there are any mats, if there are any burrs or seeds or something like that, I'll pick those things out. And then when you've got this nice fluffy mass of hair, you spin it. And there are a couple of different ways of doing that. I have used a drop spindle, which is basically just some sort of weight on the end of a shaft, and you spin it like a top, and that's what puts the twist into the fibers. Or you can use a spinning wheel, which is what I happen to have, and I do most of my spinning on a spinning wheel.
Now, do you do this commercially or just for fun with your own dog's hair?
Mostly just for fun. When I first started, I posted a message on a classifieds board at work and said, hey, you know, collect your dog hair for me. I want to spin it. Because I wanted to try different kinds of dog hair, you know, to see what worked and what didn't. And, you know, some people were just so excited about that, you know, because it's a way to have some sort of a memento of their pet. In fact, I had one woman contact me. She has a cat that's very, very old. And it's a long-haired cat, and she has it clipped every summer for some reason. But, you know, because the cat was getting old, she wanted something made from her cat's hair. And so she gave me this big box of cat hair that I spun into yarn for, and then she had somebody, I think, crochet something for her. So now, you know, when the cat's no longer here, she'll have this, whatever it was, a blanket or something made from her cat's hair.
So I have this vision of you getting inundated with requests from good dog listeners. I'm thinking that perhaps you don't have time to accommodate all of this.
You know, I really don't, because I've got a couple of bags of my dog's hair sitting at home right now that I've not been able to get to. I always think, oh, you know, winter's coming. I'm going to spend more time indoors. I'm going to get that hair spun this year. And it so far just hasn't happened.
Is it time consuming?
The spinning itself is not overly time consuming. What's really time consuming is the picking and the carting and getting it ready to spin. You know, so it, mostly once I start the spinning process, I find it very relaxing and kind of meditative. You know, the wheel just kind of goes around and around.
We're talking about one of the oldest art forms, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There are spinning cultures, you know, going way, way back. You know, you've seen representations of like shepherds. You know, they're herding their sheep and they're walking around with a drop spindle and spinning while they're working. You know, it's a very, very old process.
Now, for people whose dogs shed but not anywhere near to the extent that your dog does, can you combine the pet hair with other fibers?
Yes. In fact, sometimes you want to do that, depending on the properties of the fibers. You know, certain projects, you want something that's a little more durable or wears a little better. So you want, you know, a fiber that's kind of durable. What I've done sometimes when I make socks out of my dog's hair, I'll mix the dog hair with wool for the toes and the heels, because that's where all the wear happens. You know, so I want the hair or the yarn that's in that area to be a little more durable, you know. So I will blend the hairs for the toe and the heel and then do the rest of it just in plain dog hair.
It's interesting. I always imagine when someone says something like that, it's like, well, it works for the dog. It's like, why does anyone ever have to treat leather? Cows just stand out there in the rain.
Well, you know, and it's one thing that I have run up against is sometimes when people initially find out that something is made from dog hair, they're thinking of, you know, more like leather, you know, something that, okay, the dog can't give up the hair and, you know, still be around or something, you know, because I've had people, I say it's dog hair, and they're like, oh no. And I'm like, no, the dog's fine. Really?
You didn't skin the dog to do this.
I didn't skin the dog to do this. My dog is very happy.
And does it have to be long, a long haired dog? I mean, I can't imagine you could do anything with little lab hairs or something.
The hairs really kind of need to be at least an inch and a quarter, an inch and a half long.
That's all. I would think even longer.
Yeah. Well, you can do longer. My cousin had a neighbor who had an Afghan hound, which, of course, you know, has very long, very straight hair. And I spun that hair. And in that case, I actually had to kind of fold the hairs in half to make them a little easier to work with because they were so long. But yeah, if they get much shorter than an inch and a quarter, it's really hard to spin it into a decent yarn.
So what is the yarn like once you create it?
It really depends on the hair that you start with. For the fluffy undercoat kind of hair that we've been mostly talking about, it makes a very soft, fuzzy kind of yarn. I mean, very much like Angora. Most people, you know, when they see the dog hair stuff that I've made, they think it is Angora, you know, until I tell them, no, it's dog. But like that Afghan hound hair that I was talking about made a very smooth yarn because it wasn't fuzzy and fluffy. You know, so it really depends on the type of hair that you start with.
Amazing. So are there any books that people can purchase that actually will walk them through the steps of this process?
Actually, yes, there are a number of books that are available commercially. There's one called Knitting with Dog Hair, and another one that I love the title. It's My Dog's Hair.
That's wild. We will make links available for listeners of the Good Dog Podcast on our site. So just go to gooddogpodcast.com and click on the icon that says Smarter Shopping. And that'll take you to a page that'll give you choices of podcasts. Then click Good Dog, and you'll be able to order these books, if you're interested, right from our site. That'll take you to Amazon.com and enable you to do that. So one is Knitting with Dog Hair, and the other is, as I understand it, called Yes, It's Made from My Dog's Fur, An Owner's Guide to Harvesting Your Pet's Coat and Spinning It into Yarn. Sue, this has been absolutely fascinating. What's your next project?
Well, I still have those two bags of my dog's hair sitting at home waiting to be spun.
So that's next on the list. What are you going to make?
You know, I don't know. I found out that the dog hair really is much too warm to make anything big like a sweater, but it's really great for like hats and earbands and socks and things like that.
What about scarves?
You know, that would work too.
The easiest thing in the world to knit, I think.
There you go. There you go. Just put on some stitches and keep going.
That's it. Well, Sue, thank you so much for being on the Good Dog Podcast today.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Sure. The impetus for this week's show on Good Dog was that Sue is a Good Dog Podcast listener and simply wrote me an email and said, hey, I want to tell you about what I do. Turned into an episode. Same could be true for you. If you have any ideas or suggestions for topics, send an email to gooddog@smarterpodcasts.com.